We left off in Daf Samech Ches and Beis. We just started the Perek Ben Soru More. We're up to the two dot. We got a little past the two dots in Daf Samech Ches and Beis. Actually, a couple lines past the two dots. Amar Rav Chista. So the says the Gemara Amar Rav Chista. Katan Shaholid Ein Bino Nasa Ben Soru More. If a Katan has a child, the child of a Katan cannot become a Ben Soru More. Shneamar. When an ish has a son, then that son can grow up to become a ben soru mora. But we darshan li ish ben v'lo le ben ben. It has to be an ish who has a son. If it's a ben who has a son, meaning someone who's a katan who has a son, then that child cannot become a ben soru mora. So frak the gemara, haimi bai leilich rav yudah marav. Wait a second, we already darshan something from the ish ben. We just darshaned yesterday that's how we know that it has to be ben hasamach l'gvuraso shel ish, that there's a very short window of time within which the child can become a ben soru mora, and it has to be after bar mitzvah, but before he's makiv zaken atachton. So we already learned that from the ish ben, that it has to be a ben that's close to gvuraso shel ish. So how can we use that same pasuk and the same juxtaposition of le'ish ben to teach us that it has to be le'ish ben and not le'ben ben? Say im kein le'makro ki yihi a ben le'ish. No, because if it was only about juxtaposition, it should have said ki yihi ben le'ish. My ki yihi le'ish ben. Why does it say ki yihi le'ish ben? Right. If it's talking about the father alone, then it should not have said it should have said v'chiyah ben ish sorer mora, right? The son of a man and not the son of a katan. That would have been enough to darshan that. Why does it have to say v'chiyah le'ish ben? Why does it say ish before it says the word ben? So that's to tell me the additional din of Rabbi Amrav that it's samach l'gvuraso shel ish. Good. So shema mina l'chad Rav Chista, right? Therefore, we learn from the fact that it says both ways, like Rav Chista, right? Rashi has a different gear. So not shema mina l'chad Rav Chista, but shema mina tarti. That's going on the next line. It's not a different gear. So okay, says the Gemara Vayter ve'ema kulei lahach yuda asa. But still, why don't we assume that the entire pasuk is only teaching us Rav Chista's din? Imkein nemekra ben ish. My le'ish ben, because then it would have said ben ish. Why does it say le'ish ben? Shema mina tarti. That's why it comes to teach us both. So again, so originally we were trying to explain why we didn't only use the pasuk to teach us Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. So he said, oh, because it could have said ish. It should have said v'chia ben le'ish. Right? Then we said, okay, so good. So say that the whole pasuk is teaching us the din of Rav Chista. So it says Gemara, no, because then it should have said ben ish. Why did it say li ish ben? So shema mina tarti. So we could learn both Rav Yehuda Amarav and Rav Chista's din. Good. Upliga the rabba. And all of that is against rabba. Meaning, that which Rav Chista said, that a katan who has a child, that child cannot become a ben soru mora, implies that it's at least possible for a katan to have a child, right? Obviously, you wouldn't need the Torah to tell me that a katan who has a child, that the child's not going to become a ben soru mora if there's no such thing as a katan who has a child. So that very concept, that it's possible for a katan to have a child, pliga, the rabba is against rabba, dama rabba, katan ain't a molid, because rabba holds that a katan is unable to have a child. It can never happen. Shenemar im ein li ish goel. The pasuk talks about a situation of someone by gezel ager. It talks about a situation of a person who doesn't have a goel, who doesn't have any relatives. So the Gemara right away asks, v'chi yesh lecha adam b'Yisrael shein lo goel? Is there a Jew alive who doesn't have a goel, who doesn't have a relative? Every Jew is related to every other Jew in some way. You go back enough generations, we all go back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So everyone's got a goel as long as there's still other Jews around. No, but the situation must be that the pasuk is referring to Gezel Hager. And the pasuk still says ish, that by ish you need to investigate and see if he has any relatives, because it's possible that he does, possible that he doesn't. Meaning, if it's a ger, so it could be that he has a family, it could be that he started his own family, that he had children, in which case he has relatives. So if it's a ger who's a man, who's an adult, so then it's kedai to look into it and to see, does he have relatives, does he not have relatives? katan, iyata tzarech lachzor alav. But by a child, it's useless. There's no point in investigating anything. Biyadur she'en lo golin. It's obvious that he has no halachic relatives. Right? That Gershon Iskari is katan shenolad. He's not related to any of his relatives from before being a Jew. So it's a davar pashut that the katan has no relatives. But the point is, why is it a davar pashut that he has no relatives? Because he can't have any children. So since he doesn't have any children, so it's a davar pashut that he doesn't have any relatives. So that's what the pasuk is teaching us. If you steal from a ger who is a katan, so Tosfos on Daf Samachesam Beis, this giant Tosfos over here is actually related to this line in Daf Samach Tesam Aleph. Right, that's what it says. Shaych LeDaf Samach Tes. So this Tosfos discusses. It has a parallel Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Yer Aleph, discusses similar themes. There are two basic issues that Tosfos discusses. We're not going to read the whole thing, just to cover the two basic issues that Tosfos discusses. First issue, he starts right off at the top. Vim Tomar Minale Lahai Katan Mamona. How does a child ever get money? How does he own anything? We say, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, there is no zechiyah for a katan. A katan can't be zechiyah, he can't acquire anything. So how in the world does this katan actually own anything? And even if you say that there is zechiyah l'katan, Tosfos points out, that would only be midrabanan. Midal raisa, there's no zechiyah l'katan. And you can't be zechiyah on behalf of a katan, especially since zechiyah is mitam shlichus. If you want to be zechiyah, let's say I find $100 on the street and I know, or let's say I find an item on the street that I don't need. Let's say I see an iPod on the street, and I don't listen to much music, so I don't really need an iPod. But I know that my children would love an iPod. So if I, let's not take children, I know my friend would. So I pick it up for him. So I'm not koneh it myself. I'm koneh it on his behalf. That's zechiya. I can be zocha for somebody else. What about for a katan? Can I be zocha for a katan? So the very concept of zechiyah works mitam shlichus. So even if you hold that there is that you can be zocha for a katan, that's only midrabanan. Midal raisi can't be zocha for a katan because it works mitam shlichus, and a katan is lav bar shlichus. Just like a katan can't appoint me a shliach to pick up that iPod for him, I can't make myself a shliach for him to pick up that iPod, midal raisa. It's got to be only midrabanan. So Frek Tosfos, how can the Gemara be darshaning a pasuk about Gezel Ager to be relating to a katan? It's impossible for you to steal something from a katan, because it's impossible midal raisa for a katan to own anything. So Tosfos has three answers to this kasha. First answer, he says, about 5-6 lines before the lines get medium sized, he says das acheres maknosan shiny, that there's a difference when someone else is makne it to him. It's true that a katan doesn't have the das, the ability to the requisite das to be kone, but if there's someone being to be kone on his own, to be zoch from a hefker or whatever, but if someone is being makne it to him, das acheres maknosan shiny, that's going to be different. And he says, based on that, we understand very well the Gemara Mesecha Sukkah that we're very familiar with, where the Gemara tells us, lo likni inish lulav eliyanuka, that a person shouldn't be makna his lulav on the first day of Yantif to a child, to yanuka mikna kani aknuye lo makni, because the child has the ability to be kona, the dalad minim, he doesn't have the ability to be maknaed back to you. So you're going to get the lulav from you're going to give the lulav to the child before you take it yourself, it's going to be his, and then you're never going to get it back. So you're never going to be able to be outside the mitzvah of Dalminim with Lachem, with the Lulav Shelachem, the Gemara says. But wait a second, how can the child be Kona? I thought a child's not able to be Kona. So he says, I feel Midor Reise, the child's Kona, even Midor Reise, Dal Yedei Das Acheres, Maknosan, Zoch Midor Reise Lacherim, that even Midor Reise can be Kona if there's a Das Acheres Makna. So that's answer number one, how a child can be Kona. Much further down in the Tosos, about 6 lines before the lines get wide, va'od mishkachas la shiyesh lo mamon l'katan, kigon shi yarash esav, if kodem shen is gayer. It could be that he yarshens his father before he was megayer, meaning there is Yerusha for Gayim. So, granted, he's not related to his father anymore, but maybe he yarshened his father before he ever became a Jew, while he was still related to his father. So any money that he had as a guy, he's able to bring into his life as a Jew. And therefore, he does own that money. Mida oraisa, his nechasim don't become hefker when he becomes a ger. And number three, a couple of lines further, says Tosos, inami b'ma'aseh yadav de malachto v'schar tircho shalom mida oraisa. Maybe the katan has a job. He's making sneakers in China or something. So whatever money he makes, that's his. Whatever money he makes from his own maisi adayim, that's in fact his. That doesn't belong to anybody else. So that's how you could have a case of gezel ager. Those are the three approaches of Tosfos. If you're looking at the second, that's issue number one. The second issue Tosfos deals with, if you look on the second wide line of Tosfos, frek Tosfos vim tomar vehech nizgayer. How could it be that we're megayer the child? Because granted, a katan has a concept of zechia mida oraisa, but hani mili Yisrael. That when we say a katan can be zocha mida oraisa, that's only if it's a Yisrael. Avalovin kochav mamrin beizu neshech the kibun de loasi luchal shlichus. Meaning, even if we're going to say that a katan Yisrael has zechia, that's because we're misakin that he should be able to have zechia because he's going to come the Torah shlichus. It's just a matter of time as soon as he becomes a gadol. But a katan who's a ben Noach, a katan who's a non-Jew, who's never going to enter the parsha of shlichus because even if you wait and he becomes older, he's still going to be a non-Jew. So the rabbanon were not misakin a concept of zechia for him. So it tells us. He says it could be if you hold the concept that a katan has zechiya midaraisa. So the idea of being megayer somebody is that he enters into Torah Yisrael and has all the rights all at the same time. So you're right. In order for the tevila to work and for the geirus to work, he needs to have the rights of zechiya and shlichus. But the rights of zechiya and shlichus only come in if the geirus works. So it's like a vicious cycle. So we view it as if it's all ban kecher. It's like Gita V'yada Ba'an Kechon. It all comes at the same time. But if you say that a katan doesn't have zechiyah mida oraisa, that even mida oraisa he doesn't have zechiyah, so then how can the katan be megayer? So he says, v'yishlomar, because even if you want to say he becomes a Jew right now, good, he becomes a Jew right now, but even a Jewish katan doesn't have zechiyah. So how can we be zoche his gerus on his behalf? So it says, tells us, v'yishlomar gonshin zgayri imo kishimu beres. That the case is that his mother was megayer while she was pregnant with him. That a pregnant woman who's megayer, the child does not need tevila. Now, why does the child not need tevila? So this has nothing to do with the idea of chatzitza. We're not going to say that the mother is not a chatzitza on the child. That's not the issue. The issue is that the child does not need tevila. The Ritva points out is because uber yarachimo, that it doesn't enter the parsha of chatzitza because it's considered like one of the mother's organs, one of the mother's internal organs. It's just part of the mother. So it's not that. Let's say if a person goes to the mikveh, so you can say there was a chatzitza on their heart didn't go to the mikveh because there was a chatzitza. No. They went to the mikvah, that which is balua, that which is completely completely covered inside the person's body, is also in the mikvah. It doesn't need bias mayim, right, in those parts of the body. We've mentioned many times in the past that there are three parts of the body when it comes to tefila. There are those parts of the body that are exposed, that need bias mayim, and can't have any chatzitza. You need the water to actually hit all the exposed parts of the body. There are parts of the body that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not exposed, like the inside of the mouth, the inside of the eyes, the inside of the ears, where sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't see it, depending on the position of the person and whether they're blinking or not, right? So those parts of the body can't have a chatzitza, but they don't need bias mayim. And then there are parts of the body that are so completely covered over that they're never exposed to the outside, and those parts of the body don't even need to, they're even allowed to have a chatzitza. That's completely included in the tevila regardless. It doesn't make a difference what's going on in those parts of the body, right? Legabe tumentara, we also have such a concept. That tumah bibalua, that there's no tumah that the tumah can't affect that which is balua. That's the big kasha that everyone asks on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham quotes from I want to say the Rokeach. I forget all the time who he quotes, but the Magen Avraham quotes, why is it that an Eishes Kohen who's pregnant, an Eishes Kohen Muberes, is allowed to go to a cemetery? So the Magen Avraham says that it's a Sfek Sveka. Safek, maybe the child is not a boy, maybe it's a girl. And even if it's a girl, maybe it's not a Ben Kayama. You never know. So even if it's a boy, rather, maybe it's not a Ben Kayama. So a Svek Sveka. So all the Achronim ask on the Magen Avraham, what are you talking about, Svek Sveka? What are you talking about, Svek Sveka? It's Balua. It's not Shaykh to Turma. It's completely engulfed inside the body of the mother. There's no, it doesn't transfer. It's not something that could even become Tameh. So we have such a concept by Tuma. We have such a concept by Tara B'mikvah as well, that there's this idea of Balua. But the point is that it's Ubar Yerachimo. The Ubar is part of the mother now. Since it's considered part of the mother, the Tevila of the mother works for the baby as well. A few lines further, Tosus gives another answer. He says, Venira de Zechia de Gerus. He says, you know why Zechia works for the child who's becoming a Ger? Because it's not like every other type of Zechia in the world. Lo dami l'shar Zechios. It's not that they're zoche for him on his behalf. El hu zoche ba'atzmo. He's zoche in himself. Ubegufo, and he's acquiring his own body. He's elevating his own being. Shenasa ger v'nichnas tachas kanfei hashchina, where he's becoming a ger and he's entering tachas kanfei hashchina. So it's not a din in zachin where I'm picking up something for you. He's doing it himself. His whole mahus is changing, and that's why it's going to work. The Gemara asks in Subas, Tanina Zachon Adam Shlo Bafanav, and the Gemara answers, Ovid Chavim Vefkeri Nichalei, that you might have thought Ovid Chavim Vefkeri Nichalei, that he prefers to be a guy, Kamash Malan, that he doesn't. So says Tosos, that's because if it was for Ischova, Beis Din shouldn't get involved in trying to be a Megayer him. But it's not because you needed to be a Zuchus in order for it to work. It would work even if it weren't a Zuchus, because it's not us doing it for him. He's really doing it for himself. So even if it wasn't a 100% Zuchus for him, it would work. It's just that if it wasn't a 100% Zuchus for him, why would Beis Din do it? We don't have any interest in making more Jews in that way, in trying to convert people to Judaism. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't an absolute zuchus for him. That's why the Gemara wants to emphasize the zuchus. Not that it can't work if it weren't an absolute zuchus. We just would have no interest in being involved if it weren't an absolute zuchus for him. Okay, so those are the important, the highlights of that Tosos. I shouldn't say important, the highlights of that Tosos. Okay, so back in the Gemara now, fourth line from the top. I only know Ish. How do I know that even someone who's 9 years old, by Shivcha Harufa, this pasuk is, how do I know even someone who's 9 years old is also included as long as he's Roy Lubia? Tamalomar, Vi'ish. That's why the pasuk says, Vi'ish. Armalei, so what do you see from there? That a 9 year old is Roy Lubia. So how can you tell me a Katan can't be Malid? Rabbi wants to tell me a Katan's unable to have children. What does it mean he's Roy Lubia if he can't have children? Obviously, he can have children. So Armalei, Yesh Lo Ve'ena Malid. He says, no, there's a difference between Bia and children. When he's 9 years old, he has zera, something comes out of him, and he's able to have bia in some way, but it's eino molded. But it's that zera is not potent at all. It's unable to impregnate a woman. Kitvush lo yivyeh shlishtami. It's like grain that has not grown to one third of its growth. Rashi explains that if you replant it, it's not going to be able to grow anything. So it might be useful as is, but it's not going to be able to produce anything. It's not going to be able to make anything grow. So similarly, this katan zera is not going to be able to make anything grow. To be chizkiyatana, v'chi yazid ish. He taught as follows. Pasuk says, v'chi yazid ish. Ish mezinu mazriya, ve'in katan mezinu mazriya. That a man can cook up his zera, meaning it cooks within his body, and therefore has the ability to be mazriya, has the ability to impregnate a woman, but a katan's body doesn't cook up the zera properly to be able to be mazriya, a woman. Amar le Rav, Rav Mordechai le Ravashi, my mashma dahim mezid lishon de bishulehu. Where do you ever get the word yazid? Means bishul, means to cook it up. You know what the pasuk is really talking about when it says v'chi yazid ish? The rest of the pasuk is v'chi yazid ish al re'ehu lahargo va'arma mi'im is v'chiti kachen lamos. It's talking about a murderer. It's saying that if a man purposefully kills somebody, Right? That's all. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about being mevashal anything. So where do you get the idea that you could darshan it as if the word yazid means to be mevashal? Where does that word ever mean to be mevashal? So it says Gemara, yes, it does mean in a very famous pasuk, dichsiv ayazid Yaakov nazid. Yaakov was cooking up a stew of some sort, lentils, and that's when he sold when he bought the bechara from Esav. So you see, yazid is a lashon of cooking. Ben v'loav, but didn't Tanna Debei Rabbi Shmuel teach us Ben v'loav that a Ben Soramora can be a Ben Soramora, but he can't be someone who's an Av, that the Ben Soramora can't be someone who's already a father? So Echidami, what's the case? How is it even possible that between, basically what the Gemara is going to ask before we read it inside, is how's it possible that it would even be a physical possibility that between the age of 13 and 13 and 3 months, he's already a father? If you're going to say that a child does not have the ability to impregnate a woman, that means before bar mitzvah, he can't impregnate a woman. So how can you give me a drasha? There's a drasha that if he's an av, he can't be a ben sarah mora. In addition to the drasha that it's dafka between 13 and 3 months. Well, how's that even possible? If you want to say he impregnated the woman after he got two sarah, and the baby was born before he had a kafa zakan, before the hair all grew in down there. So miko shahuskule hai. There's not enough time between shtei saros and akiv zakan for a full pregnancy. All he got is 3 months, a 3 month window when a child can become a ben sarah mara. El lav must be diaber mekami delaisi shtei saros, that he impregnated a woman before he had shtei saros, meaning when he was a katan, va'olid mekami delagiv zakan, and then the baby was born while he was still within his window where he could have been a ben sarah mora. And that's what the pasuk is telling me, that if he's an av, he's ineligible to be a ben sarah mora from a separate drasha. But a shmamina katan molid, from the need for a drasha that an av can't be a ben sarah mora, obviously that shows you that a katan is able to impregnate a woman. Otherwise it would be the drasha would be totally unnecessary because it would be a physical impossibility. So says Marlo, Liolam Diabar Basadaisi Shte Saros. Now maybe we're talking about that he impregnated a woman after he had shtei saros, va'olid basar da akiv zakan. And you know what? The baby was born after he was already ineligible to become ben sarah mara anymore. Once he aged out of the ben sarah mara parsha. Why do I need a drasha then to tell me that ben v'lo av? It's impossible. He couldn't have been an av while he was still in that 3 month window. With the kakasha, Rabbi Kruspadai, you're bothered by Rabbi Kruspadai's drasha. Kias Rav Dimi Amar Amri b'mar Rava. Ben v'lo haroi l'krosoav. No, it doesn't mean ben v'lo av. It means ben v'lo haroi l'krosoav. Meaning to say that it's referring to, it's excluding from the parsha of ben sarah mara someone who has a pregnant who has impregnated a woman, not someone who is already actually a father. No, that's obvious because that can't happen. That's a physical impossibility. But rather, it's roi l'krosoav, someone who there's a woman that's obviously pregnant that this man has impregnated, and that's what the drasha is telling me. That any woman that if he's already impregnated a woman, then he can't be a ben sarah mora. Gufa, Am Rabbi Kruspadai, Am Rav Shaptai, called Yamav Shul Ben Sarah Mora Enel Gil Mechadashim Bilvad, that the entire window of time within which a person can become a Ben Sarah Mora is only 3 months. Wait a second, didn't we learn that it's from the time that he brings shtei saros until he fills in the hair down below? So the Gemara answers, no, if it's one or the other, if he's makiv zakan, then even if 3 months have not yet passed, he matured very quickly, so then he ages out. If 3 months pass, even though he has not yet fully matured, then he ages out then as well, whichever comes first. Yosef Rabbi Yaakov Minar Pekod Kamei de Ravina. Rabbi Yaakov Minar Pekod was sitting in front of Ravina. V'yasav Kamei Mishmei de Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. And he was sitting in front of Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua. Shema Minabi de Rabbi Kruspadai Yom Rav Shaptai. He says, what you see from Rabbi Kruspadai Yom Rav Shaptai is that Yoledes L'Shiva Ein Ubar Nikar L'Shlish Yameha. That when a woman gives birth in a 7 month pregnancy, the Gemara always assumes that there are two types of pregnancies, like two modes, two tracks a woman can take. It's not that it's a preemie when the baby's born in the 7th month. No, there's a 7 month pregnancy and there's a 9 month pregnancy. So the Gemara says what you see from here is that even when a woman's going through a 7-month pregnancy, the stage of hukar ubra, when you can tell that she's pregnant, comes 3 months into it. Not 1/3 into it, 2 1/3 months, but 3 months into it. Because if you were to hold that it's always 1/3 of the way into the pregnancy, lamali gimel betrevitilsa sagya, why would you say that you have 3 months till he's already roi l'krosavav? That 3 months after getting shtei saros, he's already roi l'krosavav. He should be already roi l'krosavav before that. He's roi l'krosavav. Let's say he impregnates a woman, and his luck, it's a 7-month pregnancy. So then he's already roi l'krosavav. A woman that he's impregnated is already obviously pregnant, and therefore roi l'krosavav 2 1/3 months into it. So the window of time should only be, to be a ben sarumara, should only be 2 1/3 months, not 3 months. Elamai must be that the amount of that even when it's a 7-month pregnancy, the hukar ubra stage only comes after 3 full months. Now he says, really, I could tell you, even by a 7-month pregnancy, it's hukar ubra 1/3 of the way into it. But zil basaruba, just follow the majority. Majority of pregnancies are 9-month pregnancies, and therefore, when we talk about roi l'krosavav, we're talking about based on the full 9-month pregnancies, not based on 7-month pregnancies. Amruah kamed Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, Amrulei b'dinei nefashos mi azlina basaruba. Wait a second. When it comes to dinei nefashos, are we going to follow a rov? Meaning, let's say this kid taka becomes a ben sora mora those last 20 days of that 3rd month. So you're going to say, we're going to kill him. Why? Because we said, lo roi l'krosavav, and we want to use the rov pregnancies as our definition of roi l'krosavav. What are you talking about? You're going to kill him based on that? Now you're going to kill the guy because you say he has the full 3 months to become ben sora mora, whereas otherwise you wouldn't have killed him. HaTorah amrav shavtu eda v'yitzilu eda v'at amr zil basaruba. The Torah says that we have a concept of yitzilu eda, and here you're going to tell me to follow a rov? So adrua kamed ravina amrulei u'bedine nefashos lazin basaruba. He says, we always go basarov by dine nefashos. How can you even ask it as a question? Yes, we do follow rov by dine nefashos. V'atnan, I'll prove it to you. We have a Mishnah. Ech romer b'shnayim b'chodesh, v'ech romer b'gimel. Two people come to testify. One guy says it happened on the 2nd day of the month. The other guy says it happened on the 3rd day of the month, that Reuven killed Shimon. Eduson kayemes. We allow such an edus. Shezo yodeh b'ibur shel chodesh, zeinu yodeh. We assume one of them was familiar with the fact that the past month had an extra day, was a 30-day month, and the other guy was not familiar with that fact. He thought the last day, the last month was only a 29-day month, so he thinks it's the 3rd day of the month already now. V'sal kadaitach lo amrin en zil basaruba, but if you're not going to follow majority, neima hani davka kamisadi v'chushi yudukom machesh adadi. Maybe they're not making a mistake about the ibur shel chodesh. Maybe they're just contradicting each other on the dates and they're invalidating them. Elolav mishum darmin and zil basaruba v'ruba d'inshi avdi d'to b'ibur d'yarcha. But it must be that we rely on a rov, and rov of the time that two people describe the same event, but they're 1 day off in the dates given, rov of the time, it's because they made a mistake b'ibur shel chodesh. So since that's the rov, we can assume that that's what happened over here as well. It's only rov sometimes when people give a description of the same event on 2 different days, it's because they're lying and they couldn't get their story straight. Yeah, but that's a miut. Most of the times, because they're Tobi Burish al Chodesh, and that's enough. And therefore, we're able to follow Rov. So you see that we follow Rov by Din and Fashos. And therefore, it's no problem to follow Rov by the Ben Sarumara, also by the Rov pregnancies, and therefore give him a full 3-month window to become a Ben Sarumara, not the 2 1/3 month window. Amrabi Midifti Afanan Amitanina, Bashal Shom Yomechon Miskadashas Bibia. A girl who's 3 years old, you can have kiddushe bia with her. Meaning, this Mishnah just highlights the idea that once she's 3 years old, her bia is called a bia. And it's going to tell us all the nafkaminas la'alacha to the fact that when you have bia with a 3-year-old, it's called a bia. It has a halachic definition of a bia. So, bashal shom yomechon miskadeshes bia. Kiddushe bia works on her. Vimbala yavam kana. Yibum works on her. V'chayavan ala mishum eshes ish. If she's married and you have bia with her, that's called sleeping with an eshes ish. Umetame is boil, the tame mishkav tachton kelyon. She's a nida. She could be mitame, the guy who's boil her, to be mitame mishkav tachton kelyon. Even if he doesn't touch that which he lies on, that which he sits on, it itself becomes an avatuma. Nises the kohen, meaning for one is a boel nida, his mishkav becomes an avatuma. Right? It's not only tame because like something that touches him, which would only be a rishon, the mishkav becomes an av. Nises the kohen, ochelas betruma. If she marries a kohen, she gets to eat truma. min apsulin, pasul min akuna. If one of the people that would pasul her from kuna sleeps with her after she's 3 years old, that would disqualify her from kuna. V'imbala echon mikala arayos hamurus b'tora, mumsin ala v'yipetura. And if one of the other arayos is boil her, so they get killed, and she's going to be patur because she's still a katana. A katan is lav baronchin at least, so frak the gemara v'amai, why should anyone else get killed for sleeping with her? Ema islandis hi vadai to dahachi lo kaddish. Maybe she's an islandis. I mean, let's say she's married to somebody. She's 4 years old and she's married. So why should somebody who sleeps with her be punished for sleeping with an Eishes Ish, be killed for sleeping with an Eishes Ish? Maybe it will turn out, as this girl grows up, will realize she'll never physically mature. She'll be an islandis, and it will turn out that her kiddushin to her husband would have been a kiddush etalus. It was all a mistake, and therefore she was never married. El lav damrin and zil basaruba. So it must be that we follow the rov. Rov nashim lav islandis ninu. And most women are not an islandis, so you can assume that we can follow the majority, right? One could also ask, how do we know that the rabbanon aren't going to uprroot the kiddushin? We have a concept of avkin rabbanon l'kiddushin minei. Who says they're not going to do that? And then it's going to turn out that he didn't sleep with an Eishes Ish. So the Chari, you could say, well, rova the time, the Rabbanan, don't uproot the Kiddushin, and therefore it's a non-issue. When the Rishonim ask the question about the Afkinu Rabbanan, they don't ask it midin the rove, because again, that's covered in this Gemara, right? They don't ask it midin, how can you assume she's an Eishes Ish, because again, that's covered in this Gemara. What they ask it in terms of is the Hasra'a that you're going to give the person. How can you ever give Hasra'a? It's Hasra'a Safik. That you can give Hasra'a to the person, don't sleep with this woman, she's a married woman. Well, it's really a Safik if she's a married woman, because maybe in the future, the Rabbanan are going to uproot the Kiddushin, she won't be a married woman. So that's what Tosas Gengitin, Daf Lamed Gimel deals with. And he says that, no, that you have to look at her Kasher Usham like she is right now. And right now, she's a married woman, and that's the way we deal with it halakhically. So anyway, lo, my Chayav Allah, the Ketani says, no, that's not a Raya at all. Meaning, it's not because we follow Rov, and Rov Nashim are not an islandist. No, you know why he's Chayav? Because Karban, he's not Chayav Misa, we would never kill based on a Rov. He's chayav a carbon if he did it b'shogeg. That's all. But no, we would not kill based on a rov. I affect the gemara v'amum sinal yada katani. But it says we would kill the arayos that sleep with her. Doesn't that imply that it's based on the rov, that she's not an islandess, and therefore her kiddushin is going to be valid? So no, b'bal avia. That's no matter if her father sleeps with her, which has nothing to do with whether she's married or not. That's an arayos, no matter what. That's not an arayos that relates to marriage. V'hoyim b'ala echon mikol ha'arayos katani. But it didn't just say if her father sleeps with her. It said if any of the arayos, mikol arayos, any one of a whole list of arayos sleeps with her. No, we must be talking about a case where the husband who married her was so madly in love with her, he didn't care what she was physically. So he was mekabel that when he was mekadish, he put it as a tanai. Even if you're an islandess, I'm being mekabel that this should be a good kiddushin. Even if you turn out to never physically mature, I want this to be a good kiddushin. So in that case, there's no risk. It's not a rove. It's not relying on a rove, because no matter what happens to her, the kiddushin is valid. Fine. Tanu rabbanim, we have a brisa. Hamasolelus bibna katan veher rabba. If let's say a woman acts in a pretzistic way with her own katan child, and it gets to the point where there's a little bit of penetration from the katan, there's hara that's done, which is either neshika sever or achnasa satara, either just the touching of the private parts, or there's a achnasa satara, there's a minor penetration. So beishamei omer pasul min akuna beisil machshirin. Beishamei says that woman is now pasul akuna. Beisil says no, she's still kasher. Amar Rav Chiya b'rei d'Rabba bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Chisa bar Milam, Rav Chisa bar Zeiri, Hakol modim ben teish shon v'yamechot sh'biyasu biya. Everyone agrees that if the child is 9 years old, then the biya for sure counts. Pachos mi ben shmona, shein biyasu biya. If the child is less than 8 years old, everyone agrees the biya does not count. Lo nechluku el b'ben shmona. They only argue about the child who's between the age of 8 and 9. Beishamei savri gamrina midoros harishonim. Beishamei says we derive from doros harishonim. Meaning, we're going to prove in our Gemara that in the earlier generations, much, much earlier in history, at the age of 8, people were already able to impregnate women. A child who has bia at the age of 8 is already able to impregnate a woman. So Beishamai says, well, we learn from Doros Rishonim that an 8-year-old's bia counts. Beisil says, I don't care what the Metzius used to be. That's totally irrelevant. We do not learn from Doros Rishonim. So once we mention that, how do we know that Doros Rishonim were able to have children at the age of 8, were able to impregnate women at the age of 8? So you have to keep cheshbon here. So the Gemara says, okay, let's look at some family trees. Or Bathsheba was the daughter of, what does it say? Was the daughter of Eliam, right? Who and also the wife of Uriah. But the point is, she was the daughter of Eliam. What do we know about Eliam? Eliam ben Achitophel Agiloni. Eliam was the daughter, was the son of Achitophel. So Bathsheba's grandfather was Achitophel. Uksiv vayishlach biyad nasan anavi vayikra shmo yudidya vavor Hashem. Uksiv vayhi lishnasayim yamin vayugozim lavshalom. Uksiv vavshalom barach vayelach gashura vayisham shalashanim. Uksiv vayyeshav avshalom biyushlaim shnasayim yamin upnei amelech lo ra'a. Uksiv vayhi miketz arbaim shana vayomar avshalom el amelech el chana esnidre asher nadati lashem bechevron. Uksiv vachitophel ra'a ki lo nasa atsaso vayachvash asachamor. Right, that's the pasuk that describes Achitophel's suicide. When Achitophel was advising Avshalom in his rebellion against David, he realized that once his advice wasn't being followed, that he had no, that it had no, the rebellion had no chance, and he was just going to be a Marid b'Malchus. So he committed suicide. Uksiv anshe damu mirma lo yechtsu yumehem, and it says that anshe damu mirma don't even live half their lifespan. V'tanya kol shnosav shel doag einin el shloshim va'arba. What's a lifespan? So we assume a typical lifespan is 70 years. Half a lifespan is 35 years. Anshe damu mirma don't even make it to half a lifespan. And it says that Doeg, so Doeg died at the age of 34. V'shal Achitophel einam el shlosh v'shalosh. Achitophel died at the age of 33. So let's keep cheshbon now. Achitophel was the great-grandfather of Shlomo, right? Because Achitophel had a son Eliam, who had a daughter Bathsheba, who had a son Shlomo. So Achitophel is the great grandfather of Shlomo. He died at the age of 33. Kameh havilu tlasim tlas. He was 33 years old. Dal Sheva Dava Shlomo. Shlomo was 7 years old at the time that Achitophel died. That's what all those psukim proved. Because it says Yedidya was born, Yedidya is Shlomo. Right? And then it describes the whole Avshalom rebellion and goes through how many years the whole process took. Shlomo was 7 years old when Achitophel died, when the rebellion was over. So now, if Achitophel is Shlomo's great grandfather, and Shlomo was 7 years old when Achitophel died, Pashlehu Esrim Vishis. That means when Shlomo was born, his great grandfather was 26 years old. Unbelievable. Dal Tarti Shneilu Tlasi Iburi. Now, what age did each of the people in those generations impregnate women? So you have to take out another 2 years in the timeline of the, how long the pregnancies lasted, right? Because the next generation's age doesn't begin right away after the father impregnated the mother with him. It only, his age only starts the counting once he's born. So you take out 2 years for the pregnancies. Why 2 years for the pregnancies? Three pregnancies. Let's say each pregnancy is 7 months. So 3 times 7 is 21 months. So that's not 2 full years. So Rashi says, no, you got to take out 1 month also of Tumah, that the woman is still Tamei Leda. So it tells us, what? The child doesn't start aging while the mother is still Tamei Leda? The child's age already, the Cheshmer already starts. He quotes Rashi and he says, I don't know what in the world Rashi's talking about. Tema Gedola. What, you think the kids weren't growing in that first month of life? Of course they were. Of course their age starts. The cheshbon already starts. So Tosfos says you have to say it's lav dafka. It's off by 3 months. Okay, so it's off by 3 months. It means roughly 2 years. Take out roughly 2 years. So yishtakach t'chol chad v'chad b'timni olid. So it turns out within 24 years, three generations had to have aged and made to the point where they were able to make a woman pregnant, which means that each generation was able to do it at the age of 8 years old. So that's how we see that the Doros HaRishonim were molded at the age of 8. Says Gemara, no, that doesn't prove anything. Mimai Dilma Travayu B'Teisha Olid, because there's one girl in the mix over there. It's not generations of boy, right? It's Achitophel's a man, had a son Eliam was a man, but then we go down, the next generation was Bathsheba. So maybe Achitophel impregnated a woman when he was 9 years old. Eliam impregnated a woman when he was 9 years old. Bathsheba became pregnant when she was, I don't know, 5, 6, who cares, right? Who says that men were able to impregnate? Maybe just women were able to become pregnant at a much earlier age. Dilma Travai B'Teisha Olidu Bathsheba Olida B'Shis. Bathsheba was able to become pregnant at the age of 6. Mishum De'itzabari, because women are much quicker to do these things. So Teda, they mature more quickly. Teda, and the proof is the Havila Vlad Me'ikara. The raya that women can become pregnant earlier is that Bathsheba had a child already before that. So she had a child before that died, right? The first one that died, that David was so sad. said that mourned over. So rather you have to say, how do we know Doros Rishonim were able to give birth at the age of 8 years old? They were able to impregnate a woman at the age of 8? From the following. Ela told us Terach. Terach Halivis Avram, Es Nachar Ves Haran. Terach had three sons, Avram, Nachar, and Haran. Vavram Gadol Mi Nachar Shana, Vanachar Gadol Mi Haran Shana. And we assume, if it lists them in that order, that Avram was 1 year old, older than Nachar, who in turn was 1 year older than Haran. Nimsa Avram Gadol Shtei Shana Meharan. So Avram was 2 years older than Haran. Uksiv Vayikach Avram and Nachar Lehem Nashim. And it says Avram and Nachar married women. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak Yascha Zu Sarah. Avram married Yascha. Who's Yascha? That was Sarah. V'lam Nikrashma Yascha Shesachu Baruch HaKodesh. Why was she called Yascha? Because she had Ruach HaKodesh. She was able to see in Ruach HaKodesh. V'ayinu Tchsiv Kol Asher Tomer Elecha Sarah Shema B'Kolda. And that's why Avram was told, you always have to listen to Sarah. Davar Acher Yascha Shakal Sachim Yofya. Others say she was called Yascha because everyone would gaze at her beauty. But the bottom line is, it was definitely Sarah. Uksiv Vayipal Alpanav Vayitzachek Vayomer Belibo. He fell on his face and he laughed at the idea that he would have a child. Now, Kamakashish Avram is Sarah. How much older was Avram than Sarah? Eser Shnin. He was 10 years older than Sarah. Vekashish Me'avu Atartin Shnin. But we just said that how much older was Avram than Sarah's father, Haran? He was only 2 years older than Sarah's father. So do the math. Ishtakach Yolda Haran L'Sarah B'Timni Yolida. So obviously when Sarah was born, her father was 8 years old. Good. So says Gemara, no, that's not a raya. Mimai, Dilma Avram Zutadachu Ahava. Who says Avram was the oldest brother? Maybe Haran was much older than Avram. Maybe Avram was 20 years old when Sarah was born, and he was 10 years older than Avram. V'derech Chachmasun Kachashvlu. You're going to say, but it lists Avram first in the Pasuk, because it's listing them in terms of how smart they are, not in terms of their age. Teda de Kachashvlu Kra Derech Chachmasun. I'll prove to you that sometimes it lists brothers in the order of their Chachma, not in the order of their age. Dichsiv Vayhi Noach Ben Chamesh Me'oshana. It says Noah had three children, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Shem gadol micham shana, v'cham gadol miyafes shana. So if you're going to follow the ages, so you would say Shem is 1 year older than Cham, and Cham is 1 year older than Yafes. Nimtza Shem gadol miyafes shtei shanim. So Shem is 2 years older than Yafes. Uksiv Noach ben sheish meir shana v'amabul ha'yamayim al aretz. At the age of 600, the mabul came, which means Noach's oldest son at the time the mabul started should have been 100 years old. Uksiv Ela told the Shem, Shem bin ma'ash shana v'yolad esarpach shad shana. But it says Shem was only 100 years old 2 years after the Mabul, not when the Mabul started. So it can't be that Shem was the oldest son. Because if he was the oldest son, he should have been 102 2 years after the Mabul. So you see, it has nothing to do with being the oldest. He was not the oldest. It was the list was in the Derech Chachmasim in terms of how smart they were. So the same over here, we could assume that the list is given derech chachmasan. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.